Hi, today is June 2nd, 2017. This is Movie News Podcast number 208. I'm Todd Ogasawara. I'm a good friend, John Westfall. And happy National Donut Day to you.
Such a great day. I know it's a solemn occasion for many donut lovers out there.
I bought donuts.
I fully endorse that.
Anyhow, so we skipped last week, and I'm being forced to use a new version of my recording software, which is Audio Hijack Pro. I was pretty darn happy using version 2. Then I got a notice that's going to stop working, so I had to go buy a new one. And now I'm listening to myself, my earpiece, because I can't figure out how to cut out my sound to my headphones. It's not an echo. It's in real time or near real time, so I'm hearing myself speak. It's like hearing, well, it's weird.
So if Todd just stops talking and I just start going through things and you hear the occasional, yeah, or that's interesting from yep. Todd's end, then you'll know that he finally hit his breaking point.
Yep. Well, okay. Well, anyway, I'll try to fix this. Yes, I'll reach out to the Audio Hijack people. Let's see. What's the name of their company? I can never remember it. Audio Hijack, whatever the heck they're called. Rogue Amoeba.
Oh, I was going to say, if they're not Sound Pirates, Inc., that would just not be right.
Yeah, Rogue
Amoeba. You're going to name your product Audio Hijack.
And the sad thing is there's nothing wrong with version 2. I mean, I've been using it since 2008, so 9 years, various incremental upgrades, no problems. I don't even see how to pause this recording if we hit a Skype glitch. So, any rate. Built-in effects. I'm just, you know, so I obviously don't know how to use this. Sigh. New software. I'm getting too old to learn new software, perhaps. Don't know. Okay, here we go. Anyway, so we skipped last week because I was traveling. I think John may have been traveling, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back. So the first thing, well, we'll have some travel things to talk about. But the first thing I want to mention, a couple of things I've been catching up on since I got back home, is I noticed Google announced that the next... Not next version. The 2018 version of Google Chrome is going to have a selective ad blocker. Did you read about that, John?
I haven't seen that, but I find it a reassuring thing. I think sometimes, you know, ad blockers live in this weird world where we recognize they hurt publishers, but yet so many publishers just use really irresponsible ad tactics. Mm-hmm. And I was on a few websites this week even, and this happens fairly regularly, where you go to a website, you try to load up the content because you want to read the content, and then you can't even get past the first screen because the site drags down or tries to fire up Flash or just it's just horribly bloated. And we need to sort of encourage publishers and advertisers to embrace better ways of advertising that are not so resource intensive. So a selective ad blocker that could provide a better web experience by getting rid of some of those things would be welcome. And to the advertisers and publishers that complain about it, pick better ads. Do your job better.
Yeah, and the reason I say it's selective, and I have a link to the Google's blog about it called Building a Better Web for Everyone or something, is they apparently are going to let things that meet some criteria through. I think AdBlock Plus has that kind of thing where it will whitelist certain type of ads, and so I expect it's something that certainly I expect Google Ads to meet their criteria and be allowed through.
One would hope.
Sorry, John?
One would hope that Google Ads will meet Google's own criteria.
Yeah. So it's not that you won't see any ads. Apparently it's supposed to be blocking the invasive ones, or at least the ones that don't meet whatever criteria policies they set as acceptable type ads. So I'm looking forward to that. I do use the ad blocker now, both on my mobile devices and on this, and even further now. Based on John's experience, I started using the VPN, which is not an ad blocker, but I feel a little bit safer using it.
Very good.
Yep. Next up, another Google thing is that Google Sheets now has the ability to create graphs and charts by asking questions of it in Word. So, you know, there's another Google blog item for it with some examples where you could say, you know, the various kinds of things, and it'll they'll figure out how to visualize that data for you. So I haven't tried it yet, but I'm looking forward to taking a look at it. This is probably a high on the wish list of many a student who needs to do graphs and has no idea how to do it. Hopefully they have banned pie charts. I think pie charts should be banned.
They definitely should. We got in a discussion on this on Facebook. Yep. You had posted something. And I don't really think that the majority of the world understands just how pointless and stupid a pie chart is.
That's right. And what you say, tell us how you really feel about it, John.
Well, there's just nothing that you can't show in a better way than a pie chart.
Yeah.
I've yet to find one of the issues that someone had brought up was, you know, what if you're comparing multiple breakdowns? And I said, well, yeah, but you don't – pie charts don't tell you anything about sample size. Nobody makes their pies bigger or smaller in proportion to something. Right. So, yeah, they're just – And it's funny to me because Todd and I both share our mutual distaste for pie charts because we came up through experimental psychology programs that basically beat them out of us and said this is the stupidest thing on the planet. But business people love pie charts, but presumably because they take up more space and look prettier. And
they're pretty,
you know,
I was going to say that.
Remind you of pizza and pie and things like that.
You can use, you know, different colors and people are impressed and you can explode the pie. And the only thing pie charts are good for is to show a schematic of how you're going to slice a pie.
Yeah, that's exactly right. My other pet peeve, since we're on a data visualization mini rant here, is 3D bar charts.
That's kind of useless. Gone away.
Excel had that as a default in one of the versions in the early 2000s, and thankfully they took it away. And the only reason I hate that is because nobody ever puts anything on the third dimension. So you're showing a three-dimensional data visualization, but the third dimension is meaningless. So
Right. Yeah, you know, I forgot about those 3D charts. They looked pretty.
They looked pretty, but the depth, nothing. So. Yeah. Get rid of it. It's extraneous chart junk.
Right. And when most people do real 3D charts, the rest of us don't understand what it is we're trying to visualize.
Yeah, exactly. trying to put something on a third dimension. I've done it. It's not easy.
Right. I mean, you have to be trained just to interpret it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up on our things new, I just read that Alexa, cancel. I woke up Echo. I'm sorry for waking up the fives of our listeners' echoes. So the Amazon Echo timer got a really neat upgrade, which I've been wanting for a long. You could name your timers. So you can say, you know, to Amazon Echo to set a timer for something for 10 minutes or whatever. And 10 minutes later, you'll not just hear an alarm. You'll say, you know, it'll say whatever that name you gave it. It'll say it back to you. You'll echo it back to you, I guess you could say. And so you know which timers. So you could set two or three timers 5 minutes apart, and you know which one is which. Which I find extremely handy. I don't know how many times I've needed dual timers for things. You know, like cooking, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So looking very good at that. Yeah. Let's see. The other thing, kind of a couple of travel tech observations. So I've been running around. I was in San Francisco this past week, actually. I just got home yesterday. So we had a rented Toyota Corolla with a built-in USB for charging and audio and stuff. And what I found interesting was while it could charge my iPhone 7 Plus while it was using Google Maps, for example, it could not charge my Nexus 6. Yeah. At best, it would reduce the battery discharge. So it was, you know, partially charging it, but not enough to keep it charged, which I found interesting. However, if I used a cheap third-party, what used to be called a cigarette lighter adapter, if I plugged into one of those and plugged my Nexus 6 in, it would keep the phone charged. So I guess not enough amperage in the built-in USB port on the 2017 Toyota Corolla. The other thing I found weird is, you know, so I have an aftermarket Bluetooth audio adapter in my current car, which is an ancient car with no modern accessories. And so it's powered by the cigarette lighter. It talks to the FM station. and I can listen to podcasts and music and things. And it works fine. There's nothing. It's like a $20 doohickey I bought from Amazon. The Toyota Corolla, which has a very, you know, has built-in Bluetooth and all of that, every time it would connect to my phone, it would start playing random music, including stuff that was in the cloud. Even though I have Apple Music set not to download unless I'm on Wi-Fi. At least I thought I did. So that was super annoying. That only happened in an iPhone 7 Plus. It did not happen on a Nexus 6, maybe because I don't have any music on the Nexus 6.
No, I think that's an iPhone problem, because that happens with vehicles that I connect my iPhone to as well. And it's Apple really needs to, and this might be something, if I could add something to the operating system at WWDC upcoming, it would be the ability to select what happens when your car connects to your phone. Because Apple just sort of picks the very first thing in your music or something like that, and it's usually not what you want to listen to, and there's no way to customize what it picks or how it picks.
Yeah. So, kind of annoying and something to think about since I'm going to be in a market for a new car one of these days. I'm trying to hold out for either a Google or iPhone self-driving car, but that might be too far in the future for me, so we'll have to see. The other thing I noticed, I learned, you know, I don't use Google Maps all that much. I'm at home because I don't really need to. But one of the things I found when I was over there, I wanted to go find a Yoda fountain at Lucasfilms in Presidio. And I found out you can just type in Yoda fountain Google Maps and it'll show you where it is. Which I thought was pretty cool, you know? Going back to USB. So I flew back home on Virgin America, which I've never flown on before. And, you know, most airlines place USB charging ports on the back of the seat or, you know, somewhere it's maybe not super convenient, but convenient enough. You can see it. You go, that's where it is. I can charge it. Virgin America places their USB charging ports under the seat on either side of the middle chair of a three-chair layout. In other words, you can't see it what you've got your seatbelt on. You can't see it, period. Unless, you know, you bend down and, you know, you do things that you shouldn't be doing in an airplane. Get down on your knees. Think, I don't even know how you're supposed to find it. And I didn't need it, but I tweeted it out to them saying, hey, what's the deal with this? And I took a photo of the diagram they helpfully provide to show you where it should be and say, hey, what's the deal with this? But anyway.
Well, I was going to ask you how you found it, but the diagram, I suppose. Yep. Oh.
I never did. I mean, I know approximately where it is because, you know, I saw it in the picture, but I never had to use it. So one of the great things is on a 5.5 or 5 hour flight, iPhone 7, iPad mini 4, no problem. You really don't need a charge.
Well, that was your travel experience. I traveled as well, but I had no new tech experiences because I was just traveling in my own car. I did end up at a Microsoft store, which I don't get to very often because there's not too many of them around me. And so that was interesting to me to kind of play with some of the products there. It was the first time I got to play with a Surface Studio and a Surface Book and a few of those things. So they're interesting to play with. I highly recommend if you have a Microsoft store around, just like if you have an Apple store, go in and play with the stuff there. But that is... Go ahead.
What did you think about the Surface Studio?
I liked it. I would consider... So right now, I am using a 27-inch Apple Cinema display as my primary monitor. I have two of these, actually. I have one here at home, and I have one at my office, which has been packed up since March because my office has been waiting for carpeting since March, but that's a whole different story. But I would... when these things do eventually go, and, you know, all technology is a win, not an if sort of thing, I do think I'll probably want a giant monitor again. And I could see myself getting a Surface Studio. I really liked it.
I have not even seen one in person, so since you have, and I have a Microsoft store nearby, I just never go there.
I don't know how much, they really are cool when you're standing and kind of looking over everything and using the pen and using the dial and all that stuff. I don't know for day-to-day work, since I don't use a standing desk, if I would particularly like it. Yeah. That would be a bit of a learning curve. And, of course, it is way expensive. things to think about. But I do like the design, and I think it's a cool design. Seemed to work fairly well as I was playing with it there.
Mm-hmm. Now, since you use your current large monitor is a non-touch device, mm-hmm. and is oriented in the traditional way external monitors are, basically up and down. Mm-hmm. Surface Studio's display is more intended to use like a drafting table, right? Kind of tilted at a 20-degree angle or something. Is that it? Would you use it like that?
It can be tilted though in the more traditional way.
Okay, and you would see yourself using it like that versus
a drafting probably table. Would at least to start, unless I went to a standing desk, yeah. then I might. But
yeah.
I don't know. I tried a stand a few years ago. My back went out, and I did the standing desk thing for 2 days because it was honestly much more comfortable for me to stand than sit.
Right.
And I could get used to it, I think, but I'm not sure if that's something I would want to do.
Yeah, I've never used a standing desk. I've seen them. I've kind of stood in front of a couple of them, and but never really used it. So not a lot to say about it. Before we get on to our final sort of topic, I did want to mention that a mutual friend of John and mine works at Google, won't mention names, but I wanted to thank him for taking my daughter and I on a little mini tour there, and it's fascinating. I have no proprietary information, news, blah 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 from that little jaunt, but I will say there is a mystery afoot there because the flamingos in the dinosaur skeleton are missing. Not a single flamingo in the dinosaur skeleton. I did learn that they have bicycles all over campus that employees, not anybody, can use to wander around. And that was, my daughter found that amusing. I did learn they bought lunch trucks for the employees. So in addition to free cafeterias, they have free lunch trucks too for their employees to use and eat. It was fun. It was lots of fun. Went to the company store, took a look around, went to the visitor center, and saw every single Chromebook except the one I own, which I thought was interesting. Which is the Samsung Chromebook Plus, which I still highly recommend for that narrow use that I use, which is basically, you know, nighttime after I come home from work and I don't need to do serious heavy lifting with it. But still a big fan of the Chromebook Plus. I will mention, I'll talk about it maybe a little bit more after I do some more things. So I traveled without my iPad Pro because it's too darn big. I carried the iPad Mini 4, which means I couldn't use my Apple Pencil for the doodles I've been doing every single day since January 1st. But and you know how it is. When you lack talent, you blame the tools, right? You don't want to blame yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I could not draw with a stylus that wasn't the Apple Pencil on the using the app I normally use, whose name is just escaping me at the moment. But anyway, it's a great app, but you know, when you lack talent, you just sort of only know how to use things a certain way, and I can't use it with a passive stylus or even the Pencil by 53, which is Bluetooth. But anyway, I found a new app called Sketcher, something like that, a Tatsui Sketcher, something like that. Which I found I could use with a passive stylus. So, again, you know, lacking talent, you blame the tool or you praise the tool. And so I'm praising that tool. I'll have more to say about it later. I might say something about it in my Medium blog that I've been writing about my doodling. So I spent a week doodling with it, and it's a lot of fun. I think it's called Sketcher. It's Tui Sketcher or something like that. Anyway, so what's up starting next week, John?
Ah, well, next week, and this is a very quick sort of rundown of the four things or four rumors we know. Next mm-hmm. week is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, mm-hmm. WWDC. So for those of you who are not very technically inclined, which I don't think are overlapping with this podcast much, but these are the things that in August and September each year, when the new iPhone comes out, my friends go, how did you do that? Or when did that happen? Or how did that happen? Well, mm-hmm. this is, if you want to be on the cutting edge, on Monday you will be able to find out all the new features that will be coming to iOS, tvOS, macOS, and watchOS. And there are a few rumors that have been passed around of what's going to happen. I'm actually going to be in meetings on Monday, so I won't be able to watch live this year, but I will catch up later in the day with a news roundup, I'm sure. But Apple apparently is rumored to be working on a social networking app of some kind. And as I put in our show notes, that's gone really well for them in the past. Remember Ping and iTunes yes. Connect. And yeah, this is twice now Apple's tried this and not gotten it right. So we'll see. This is supposed to be focused more on sharing and less on public sharing. But we'll see how it works. If they can integrate more into iMessage, things that they kind of did last year and build off of that, I could see a WhatsApp / Facebook / Snapchat killer sort of thing if they could come up with it. But
yeah, I'll Apple, wait to find out. They're like Google, you know. They're really, really, really smart people, but they just have no idea how to develop social networking kind of stuff.
They're really, really smart people, and they really, really want social networking to work for them.
Yeah, and failed every time so far.
Yes. And then the second rumor that's very persistent is the idea of a Siri smart speaker, so Apple's version of the Echo. So we'll see if that materializes. I don't really know what to expect from that.
Move on from that one, I find that kind of interesting because, you know, Google finally released their – not Google. Google released Google Home, I guess. A couple of months ago, it doesn't seem to be really catching on. I mean, you know, people are buying it, obviously, but you don't really hear people talking about it. On the other hand, Amazon released a couple of Echo offshoots, whatever you want to call them, including one with a screen. What do you think about the one with the screen? The one that you can do video?
I think I like that one more than I think the other offshoots, because in my mind, really, the only one you would ever buy would be the Echo Dot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know what Google is planning on doing to kind of match it. I like the only smart speakers I like right now are the Echo Dot and the Echo Look, I think is what it's going to be called, the one with the screen.
Right.
But not sure about the others.
Now, why would we want a Echo-like device running Siri? Siri's not very smart. It doesn't... Because Apple is privacy-focused, which is a good thing, the bad thing is it doesn't know much about you, right? So the good thing is a bad thing in this case. So is it going to be useful at all? I mean, Siri to me is not useful at all these days.
Well, Siri does a really good job of turning on and off my bedside lamp. but Alexa does just as well.
Yep.
So I will I'll wait and see. If they make major improvements to Siri, then I do think being more privacy-focused and more integrated with your life, because mm-hmm. it's privacy-focused in a way, I could see Siri being much more useful, especially if you can do multi-user Siri. So if I look at, you know, if I look at the Apple smart speaker and I say, you know, add this to my reminders, it recognizes me, adds it to my reminder list. If my wife says add it to her reminders, it goes to her list.
Right.
If I say add it to the family reminders, it goes to the list we share, all of those sorts of things. So we can hope that this is what will happen, but I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. I know Siri has been something everyone's wanted to see improvements on, so hopefully this year we'll see that.
Okay, I'll look forward to that. And your next item that you've been reading about?
Well, on the hardware side, even though WWDC is not traditionally a time to hear about hardware too much, the idea might be new MacBook and new MacBook Pros, and perhaps the rumored 10.5-inch iPad Pro. But nothing about the one I really want to see a refresh of, and that's the Mac Mini.
Yes.
The fine Mac Mini is getting very long in the tooth over here. In fact, I was boasting a couple of weeks ago that on one of my servers, that is my baby of a server, mm-hmm. My uptime is around 960 days or something like that on it. And I then looked up when the Mac Mini was last refreshed, and it was like 5 days either before or after the last reboot on my server. So it's been a long time since the Mac Mini has been refreshed.
Wow. So let's see, what's that? Not quite 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah. I am really looking forward to a new MacBook too, not because I can afford to buy one, because I need to buy one for my daughter. And I hope they announce something. Otherwise, I'm just going to get her a new MacBook Air, I think. because the MacBook Pro is just a bit, I don't know, just overpriced.
Are you excited to inherit hers?
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't actually happen? Yeah.
I am currently recording this on a 2010 MacBook Air, the first good MacBook Air, as I say.
Mm-hmm.
It has been very reliable. Thank you, MacBook Air. Thank you, Apple. But you know, it has been diligently doing this for 7 years. Come this October, I think, and I think it's time to give it a little rest. So yes,
all right.
Plus, the MacBook Air she's currently using, which is 4 years old, 2013, is a bigger screen. It's a 13-inch MacBook Air, so you know I'll have a bigger display than the original. Well, not the original, but the 2010 MacBook Air, a little bit bigger keyboard, faster processor. It'll be neat. Yeah, a 4-year-old MacBook Air is like new.
Yeah. So that's all I have. We'll see how WWDC pans out this week, and I'm sure that's something we can talk about on the next podcast.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention is that the rumored 10.5-inch iPad Pro is actually the same physical dimensions as the current 9.7-inch display. Is that what you've been reading also? But it'll be bezel-less?
I've seen that. That would be bezel-less, and it would be about the same exact dimensions.
I wonder if it would be button-less. I mean, you know, button-less in terms of not having any bezel, so not having what appears to be a physical button.
Well, that's also been a rumor that we've been hearing. So, been a rumor not just on the iPad, but on the iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I told you, I bought the 9.7-inch iPad Pro, and I didn't know how much I'd like it. I mean, I needed it because my iPad 2,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is it was the thing it replaced and just needed to be replaced. But I've become such a fan of the Apple Pencil, I need more than 32 gigs of storage. So if they announce something or hint, maybe they'll hint at something with a new iOS 11. I'm going to guess they won't actually announce it, but we'll have a hint of what the new iPad Pro will look like.
Yeah,
maybe some.
We'll see. There's always some interesting surprises. Last year, the big surprise I think out of WWDC was all the changes in messaging, the addition of stickers and the API for it. And as anyone who has been playing around with that this year knows, that changed messaging quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Things like Bitmoji came back and all those sorts of things. So hopefully another lightning jump ahead this year again.
Okay, well, that is all I have. I really didn't track much in tech this past week. I just kind of looked stuff up last night after I got home. For the fives of you who've been waiting patiently for us, welcome back. And we'll probably do this more or less regularly throughout the summer, given John's schedules, my schedule, that sort of thing. But in any case, maybe I can solve this whole audio hijack thing too, so I don't have to listen to myself when I talk. Thank goodness it's not an echo. Anyway, Movies Podcast 2008. Happy Donut Day. Talk to you guys later.